IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. I have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom to discuss today's topic, Brother Habib and Shaykh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh Rouhani. Welcome to Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Brother Habib, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the main differences between Islamic hikmah, roughly translated into philosophy, and secular philosophy, especially in the Western tradition, the outlooks and perspectives. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. First of all, tell us that, do we have any type of specific field of study like hikmah in Islam? Or no, it was established later. I mean, from early Islam, did we have hikmah or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, the word wisdom, whose Arabic equivalent is hikmah, is used in the Holy Quran, in our riwayat, in ahadith, lots of usages of this hakim or hikmah or these sort of things we have. So then the concept of hikmah is clear for all Muslims, that what is hikmah? What is a wise person? What is wisdom? And also we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is hakim. A'imma and the prophets are hakim, and they do not do anything unwisely. They are all wise and hakim.
Yes.
So this, the term hikmah or the concept of hikmah is clear in Islamic tradition.
Yes.
Then, but when it comes to this point that do we or is it better to term or name the Islamic hikmah as Islamic philosophy?
Mm-hmm.
No, philosophy is a Greek term.
Yes.
Which comes from the ancient Greece. It has its own background, its own, let's say, basis or fundamentals that is totally different from what we have in the Islamic culture and the Islamic, let's say, religion.
So when we say hikmah, you said wisdom,
yeah.
To be wise and use
to
your
be wise,
intellect.
Yes.
So philosophy is the same, isn't it?
Philosophy, from the Islamic perspective, Islamic philosophy is better to be termed as theosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Theosophy is the better equivalent for Islamic philosophy, because mm-hmm. Islamic philosophy is mainly discussing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
mm-hmm.
about God. And the main objective of all the Muslim philosophers, from Ibn Sina, from Shaykh Ishraq, from Farabi, from Mullah Sadra, all these philosophies. We have three main schools of philosophy. Mashai falsafa, or which is Propatic philosophy.
Propatic, that's right.
Ishraqi, illuminationist,
yes.
Kind of philosophy. And Hikmat-i-Muta'ali, the transcendent wisdom, which is termed the Hikmat-i-Muta'ali. And all of these main three schools of philosophy in Islam, the main discussion is regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence, the proofs, analyzing, evaluating the counter-arguments of the existence of God, and also the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that from a rational or intellectual perspective, how can we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All the preliminary kind of discussions that we have in the philosophical works, the main objective of those kind of primary or preliminary kind of studies in Islamic philosophy is the final one. The final objective is to know God,
mm-hmm.
what God is, what is our responsibility in the presence of Allah,
yes.
subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how should we live in this world obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is this? So then mostly Islamic philosophy should be termed as a kind of theosophy, not philosophy.
So in this way, theosophy, yes. is close to hikmah now?
It's close to hikmah,
okay.
Yeah. This
right.
Theosophy we have also in our riwayat. For example, if you refer to Nahjul Balagha, you see lots of sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen mm-hmm. are theosophical.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And lots of the ahadith and debates or, let's say, discussions of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq, with the atheists, with the kuffar, with the mushrikeen,
yes.
with the unbeliever, disbelievers, with Imam Reza's discussion,
yes.
with the disbelievers.
Yes.
In all of these riwayat and ahadith, we see theosophic kind of teachings mm-hmm. and doctrines.
And answers.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Right. Still, Brother Habib, theosophy or hikmah is not the personal deduction. It is not something out of your personal understanding. It must be under or in the framework of Sharia, isn't it?
You really hit the bone there with the question.
Okay.
Because I wanted to comment about a couple of things.
Yes.
First of all, secular philosophy, it seeks to interpret life based on principles derived solely from the materialistic world, derived solely from what your mind and intellect can reach. Okay. And usually that only goes with the materialistical things, the things that you see and feel.
Objective material.
Exactly. Yes. And again, they have that problem with the Aristotle logic.
Yes.
The problem they have with Qiyas al-Shikl al-Awwal. I'm not going to go into details with that. And then you have what we call the Islamic hikmah or the Islamic philosophy. It's like how my brother put it forward, that it really focuses on the ilahiyat aspect, mm-hmm. the aspect of proving God, the aspect of the knowledge of God, and then what comes after it. It's very close to theology. And philosophy, of course, the Greek philosophy is much more wider. It has to do with how to rule,
yes.
how to, you know, how order in family should be, how to reach reality, and various different topics that they have.
Even politically.
Political, Republican, individual, right. with your wife. It gives out everything. Philosophy, yes. it literally translates into love of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Love of wisdom.
Yes.
So there's that earn and or that seeking for knowledge. Another thing is that one of the main problems that we have with philosophy is that it derives from the intellect. It derives from human minds, usually doing analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Human minds, when left alone, they usually do analogy. They compare this to that,
yes.
and they see that this has this kind of ruling or this kind of state. Then they copy that rule or that ruling or judgment to another thing. And this causes a lot of problems, especially with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who you or me or the shaykh or anyone else has not seen. لا يعلم كيف هو إلا هو. No one knows how he is except him. And that is why there's this stance, was available in the Islamic seminary, to stand against philosophy. Why? Because they brought in ideas that were against, for example, the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And they had to have some sort of, you know, hard, in-depth interpretations to the sayings that might look contradictory to their concepts and ideas.
Was it taking place at the time of Imams too? For example, some intellectuals?
Yes, yes. Okay. It was actually at the time of the Imams. Uh-huh. The first people to bring in Greek philosophy was Hakim al-Umayyah.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Umayyad Caliph. After the Umayyad Caliph, in Baghdad, the Abbasid Caliph opened Dar al-Hikmah in Baghdad.
Yes.
It was the capital for knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It was the capital for knowledge. They brought in Greek speaking Arabs and they ordered them to translate any book of knowledge, even from the Persians, from the Fahlawis.
Yes.
Even from the Chinese philosophy. So any knowledge outside of Ahlul Bayt, they went and reached out and brought and translated it. The companions of the Imam alayhum salam would also debate the ideas. Hisham ibn al-Hakam has a book in which he debates with whom? The ideas of Aristotle.
Mm-hmm.
The ideas of Aristotle. The Imam alayhum salam, in their sayings, they had that they would, debate some concepts available by the philosophers.
Yes.
So there is that problem, yes, that human intellect is limited towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot reach it unless you have wahi.
Yes.
Or that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, I would just to add, I'm sorry for taking the time.
Yes.
I just want to add the words of Allama al-Tabatabai.
Yes.
Allama al-Tabatabai in Tafsir al-Mizan states that human beings, must first of all reach a high status of moral cleansing so they can reach the truth and reality with their intellect.
Mm-hmm.
For without that moral cleansing, there's always going to be that self-desire. There's always going to be that asabiyya or...
self-interest.
Patriotism. Self-interest,
yes.
Right? That's going to deny you from reaching the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important.
Okay.
Who is in that status to reach the truth? You do need the help and guidance of al-wahi.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Shaykh Rouhani, compared to the Western philosophy, or secular philosophy. Can't we say that, for example, among the philosophers, there were some people who believed in God, or, for example, believed in the hereafter and then philosophized about the world around?
You mean in the Western philosophers?
Yes.
Yes, of course. We have among the Western philosophers some of them who believed in God. Mm-hmm. For example, we have a school called existentialism.
Yes.
Or existentialist philosophers.
Yes.
We have two groups of philosophers in among these philosophers. For example, that Søren Kierkegaard.
Kierkegaard, that's right.
Who is the founder of existentialism. He was a
believer. He was a priest himself, isn't he?
He believed in religion.
Yes.
Or, for example, Gabriel Marcel or some other existentialist philosophers. But at the same time, we have like Jean-Paul Sartre or, for example, Nietzsche or the other philosophers who did not believe. Of course, the point that I wanted to shed light here on your question that what is the secular kind of hikmah?
Yes.
And what is the Islamic hikmah? What are the main differences?
Yes.
You know, we have two main views in philosophy. One is the human-centrism view, mm-hmm. and the other one is the God-centrism view.
Okay.
Human-centrism view is totally opposed to God-centrism. God-centrism is opposed to human-centrism. What does it mean? When you are of human-centrism view, you believe that human is everything. Everything goes back to the human. Everything should be for the benefit of the human. There is the only, intellectual or, agent in the universe is human.
Yes.
Outside human, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. Even God, Al-Iyadhubillah, God forbidden, or even religions, each and everything should be for the human. And we should interpret each and everything in a way that should be beneficial for the human beings. So this is a kind of human centrism or humanism, because human is the center or the central of each and everything in the whole world, in the whole universe. But God-centrism is totally opposed to it. Mm-hmm. God-centrism tells us that each and everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and emanate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the divinely ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is, particularly human beings, are totally dependent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why here, when it comes to Islamic hikmah or Islamic theosophy or philosophy, that is why the main discussion is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to identify, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, in the Holy Quran, it is said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hakim. What does this hikmah mean? Mm-hmm. Or in the Quran, we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil and just. What does this adala mean? We should understand the adala and justice. Or, for example, when you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, al-basir.
Yes.
So what is this basira? What does this, for example, ilm or knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean? Mm-hmm. Does the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same as the knowledge of mankind?
Mm-hmm.
If not, so how can we clarify it? How can we understand it? So, of course, all the philosophers says, ala taqat al-bashariya. Taqat al-bashariya means, and to the extent that the people or the human being can understand. They do not claim that they, for example, have access to the heavenly or divine kind of guidance
knowledge.
Or wahy. Yeah, of course.
Yes.
So that's why Islamic hikmah is God-centristic kind of hikmah, and secular kind of hikmah is always human-centristic kind of hikmah that wants each and everything for human being. That's why they said, because secularism is for the benefit of human, that's why you should observe secularism in our life. But God-centrism says, no, whatever is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would be for the benefit of human being.
Mm-hmm.
Because God knows best, because He is the creator of the universe and the human being. He knows best that what is good for man and what is bad for man. And that is why when we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the same time directly we are seeking the benefits of mankind.
That's why
in Islamic hikmah or Islamic wisdom, we have a kind of God-centrism ideas, studies in this hikmah or philosophy. Yes.
And Brother Habib, if we left aside thinking and the intellect power, only referring, for example, to texts of the Ahadith and the texts of the Holy Quran to deduce rulings about our life, can it be really applicable in today's world? Can it answer the needs of the people? I mean, and if this was so why so many, for example, Muslim philosophers like Mullah Sadra, like Sohrawardi, like Ibn Sina, Avicenna, like Tusi, you know, They have been all thinking about different things, different matters. They were Muslims too. They were abiding by the Sharia laws too. So why at all they need to them? For sure, it was not because of self-interest or self-centrism.
Of course, inshallah ta'ala, their intentions are pure. We're not talking about the intention, but we're talking about the knowledge that has been obligated for us to seek. And what is the, when we say, for example, ponder and reflect in the sayings, to ponder and reflect upon what? To ponder and reflect upon the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to look into detail and try to understand them in detail. Or is it to ponder and reflect upon the purpose of our life? Where are we going after? What's the purpose of our life? How are we supposed to live? And to seek the knowledge, for example, of taking al-maw'idha, to take consolation of life, and to ponder upon, like, for example, this house where people lived here, for example, for 100 years, and now this house is gone. The people that used to live in it are gone, and who knows where the families are, where the descendants of this family has gone, and what has happened to them. To think that's going to happen to you one day. That's, for example, an example of thinking that brought up by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Another thing to give as an answer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his prophets. For whom? Wasn't it for humanity? Wasn't it for humanity to be guided? That's it. And did he bring in the theories of Mullah Sadra, or the theories of Ibn Sina, or the theories of Al-Virabi, or who? Or did he bring in knowledge? He brought in knowledge. And then another thing is that, why did they dedicate their lives? Inshallah ta'ala, we'll ask them on the Day of Judgment. For now, I don't know why they dedicated their lives. They maybe thought that this was the path of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But like to have these, you know, detailed philosophical look on everything and whatnot, it's kind of debatable.
Yes.
It's a detailed topic of seeking knowledge, how to take knowledge, and from whom to take knowledge. Is our intellect enough? Or is our intellect capable of reaching or not?
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. There's still much to say about what type of knowledge is needed in order to have a philosophical look at the life as a Muslim, especially, you know. So we have to dedicate, I think, another session to this important topic. It was very kind of you, Brother Habib and Sheikh Rouhani. Thank you very much for presence in the program Viewpoints. And thank you very much to the listeners for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstudy.ir. Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Gathered here with my family, my neighbors and my friends, standing firm together against oppression, holding hands. It doesn't matter.